Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is in Christ, let him consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in words by letters, when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. Jesus, thank you for your word. Let's be seated.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce, for reading God's word so capably. A couple of months ago, a fellow by the name of talk show host named Ben Shapiro interviewed evangelical pastor John MacArthur. And it was a fascinating 1 hour and 10 minute interview. If you have not heard it, I encourage you to do it on YouTube. It was very, very good. In case you're not familiar with Ben Shapiro, he's a conservative, young Orthodox Jew who has values and a life perspective that many of us would very much agree with. But in any event, he is interviewing John MacArthur, and during a section of that interview, they were talking about what restrains evil in a society. Let me just kind of summarize that discussion with you. Dr. MacArthur said there are three restraints in any society to evil. Number one, there's the human conscience. The human conscience. And the human conscience works well when it has truth to be based upon. In other words, if somebody believes that lying's okay if it's convenient for them, when the person lies, their conscience will not be pricked. So it's very important that we have truth so that our conscience can respond to what is truly right and wrong. Dr. MacArthur went on to say that in our culture, the American culture, the truth has been so embattled and so twisted that the human conscience as a whole in American society does not restrain evil anymore. Second restraint of evil, parents. Parental authority restrains evil in a culture. And of course, parental discipline is not utilized the way it once was. It's certainly not as effective as it once was. And that combined with the abuse of men. Men sort of being a joke in our culture and made fun of in various avenues in the media. The parental unit, the family unit, is no longer a very good restrainer of evil. So that leaves one final restraint of evil in a society, and that is the government. The government has been ordained by God to keep us in line, to reward those who are doing what is right, and to punish those who are doing that which is wrong. And in our culture, of course, anything that is attached to authority is being undermined, including people in government positions, such as policemen and elected officials. That's John MacArthur speaking. This is Pastor Joe speaking now. Any society or any situation, whether it's the family, the church, society as a whole, a business, functions so much better when people in authority use the authority properly and people respond properly to that authority. Everything is so much smoother. Which raises the question, how should we properly utilize authority? How can we use authority in such a way that people are more likely to respond in a way so that there's not chaos, but everything flows smoothly? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. You see three key principles in utilizing authority. And I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's dig right into the text. Well, you know where the context has pretty much been, so Principle number one, utilizing authority must have confidence in the authority that we have. Confidence in the authority that we have, verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? The Corinthians were looking at things outwardly and not rightly judging the Apostle Paul, not rightly evaluating him. They were looking at him, you might remember, as someone who, when he was in their presence, he was kind of mild and meek and gentle. When he wrote his letters, such as the letter of 1 Corinthians, he was anything but mild. And so outwardly, they were saying that he was kind of a two-faced, double-fisted kind of a guy. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance only? It appears that I'm not consistent. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. There are actually some in the church of Corinth that were questioning whether Paul actually belonged to Christ, whether he was even genuinely saved or not, because of the false apostles and false teachers who had come in to undermine Paul's authority. They were actually questioning if he belonged to Jesus or not. Paul says, just think about it for a second. You belong to Christ, and I'm the one who shared the gospel with you, so guess who I belong to as well? You wouldn't be saved if I wasn't saved. You wouldn't belong to Jesus if I didn't belong to Jesus. And so Paul begins his confidence, if we could say, he knows that he belongs to Christ. And isn't that a wonderful confidence to have? It all begins there. I belong to Jesus, and he belongs to me. Then he says in verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us. Paul knew the source of his authority. It was authority given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is crucial to have confidence, knowing that the authority we have comes from the Lord Jesus himself. And by the way, the authority given, according to Webster, it's the power or right to give commands, to enforce obedience, or to make a final decision. The power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, or to make a final decision. Paul says, I know that the authority I have in the church has been given to me by Jesus. And that confidence enables me to exercise that authority. In Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given unto me, which is both in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. And then Jesus goes and he delegated that authority to the apostles, especially, and he delegates that authority to make disciples to us as well. In John chapter 19, and I invite you to turn to John 19, our Lord is being tried by Pontius Pilate. And in John chapter 19, verse 7, we read this. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the praetorium and he said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power, that is the authority to crucify you, and the power or the authority to release you? Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Any power, any authority that a person has comes from the Lord. He raises people up to the positions that they are in, including parental authority. It's a God-given authority. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is coming in and he's cleansing the temple, which didn't win him any popularity contest, did it? Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, we read this. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. And they said this, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Who do you think you are, Jesus, to do what you just did? Who gave you the power? Who gave you the authority to come here and to totally disrupt the temple?" Even Jesus' authority was challenged. And in our culture, authority is being challenged like never before. I mean, in a culture where perhaps the ultimate idol is the freedom to do or say whatever you want to do, authority will be challenged. Your authority as a parent will be challenged. Your authority as a husband will be challenged. Your authority as a pastor to preach truth, it will be challenged. In our culture, your authority will be challenged. It's good to have the confidence to know that the authority that we have comes from God. And I have the responsibility to exercise that authority. Paul continues. Again, in verse 8, he says, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority which the Lord gave us." Paul actually says, I can boast in that authority, not in a proud way, but in that I know that the Lord has confirmed that this authority that he has given me is something that I should use, because when I exercise it, he blesses it and it works. It works. When we exercise God-given authority properly, it works. And we should have confidence that the authority that we have because of the position we're in, it came from God. It came from God. Number two, second principle that helps us to exercise authority properly, the confidence we need to have that the authority is from above. Secondly, caution in using authority. Caution in our using of authority. Middle of verse 8, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction. God-given authority is used for edification. It's to be used to build people up. It's to help people to grow. It's to help people progress. It's to help people move forward in their Christian life or just in their daily lives. It is for building up, not for tearing down, Paul says. It's for edification and not for destruction. Lest I seem to terrify you by letters. Paul says, when I write the letters such as 1 Corinthians, I'm not trying to scare you to death. I'm writing these things for your benefit. I'm writing you so that you won't experience the disciplining, chastening hand of God. I'm writing this so that your Christian life might be full. That's why I wrote some difficult things, not to scare you to death. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes that the Lord gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why does God give people to the church, gifted men? For the edifying of the body of Christ in a unique way. It's especially true for leaders that authorities should be used in such a way to build up, not to tear down. But that's true of everybody in the body of Christ. We're all to be builder-uppers, if I could use that in proper English. In Romans chapter 15, notice what Paul writes to the entire church in Rome. Romans 15, verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, for his benefit, leading to edification. The context here is the weaker brother, stronger brother argument going on in chapter 14. And what Paul is basically saying is, okay, you could know that you're right. And it's not a major issue. It's a small issue. It's a gray area, or it's not a big deal area. Sometimes there's things in life that are more important than being right. And sometimes the best thing you could do is just let the small thing go. Let him or her figure it out himself. It's not going to cost them anything. Just let it go. We don't always have to use our authority. We don't always have to use our knowledge. Sometimes just let things go. Let people figure it out themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For some of us, it's harder to learn that there's more important things to learn in life than just being right. I would be in that group. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. Spiritual gifts should be used to build people up. It's the responsibility of everybody in the body of Christ. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together to worship, each of you, all of you have a psalm, each has a teaching, each has a tongue, each has a revelation, each has an interpretation. This is chaos when everybody is speaking at the same time. Let all things be done for edification, to build up the body. So when we're using our authority, we need to be cautious. We don't need to use it all the time. Sometimes the best thing to do is sit back, watch, pray, and watch the person learn lessons from the great teacher. Caution in using authority. And other people need assurance that this is where we're coming from. We're not this hard taskmaster waiting to jump on somebody. When one of our kids was going through elementary school, or maybe it was junior high, I'm thinking it was probably about junior high, assignment was given that the class was to watch a TV sitcom, which was a good exercise for us because I don't think we ever watched a TV sitcom. And maybe if we did, it was once a year or something like that. So I was thinking, well, this should be an interesting family experiment, you know? And so we all sat down and we're watching this TV sitcom. And the gist of the sitcom, this particular show, this particular episode, was the parents had a little boy who had a really bad problem with lying. He was a perpetual liar. And the parents are going back and forth, the mom and dad, and the mom says to the dad, you're no help in the situation at all. All you want to do is be his best friend. And he says, no, we've tried everything. You know, we've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried that. And then the mom says, well, my parents used to spank me, and I was afraid to not do what they said. And the dad said, yeah, well, my parents did the same thing for me, but we don't want to be parents like that. We don't want to be parents like that. And then finally she convinced him that that's what they needed to do. And he goes in, he takes this deep breath, you know, and he's sweating bullets. And he doesn't want to do it, but he finally works up the courage to do it. And he goes in and he gets his hand and he hits him on the rump once. And then he said to him, I don't ever want to have to do that again. He said, tomorrow, the dad says, tomorrow we're going to go ride go-karts together. So in any event, the next day comes and the mom says to the dad, he lied again. And he says, well, what do we do now? The spanking didn't work. And she says, well, spank him again. And she said, no. He says, I don't want to spank him again. So the boy comes in and says, Dad, you going to spank me? He says, no. The boy says, Dad, are we going to go ride go-karts together? And all of a sudden, the dad gets this look on his face like he has this brilliant idea. He says, no, we're not going to go go-karting together. Why not, Dad? You promised. He says, well, you lied, and I just lied to you, and I want you to feel what it feels like to lie. Go to your room. And so he goes to his room, and the dad gets ready to go out the door, and the mom says, where are you going? He says, I'm going out go-karting. She says, why? He says, well, I wasn't the one caught lying. And off he went go-karting. Okay, my analysis. Number one, they had no idea that they had authority. No idea that they had God-given authority. Number two, they had no idea how to use that authority. No idea. Number three, no idea where the authority came from above. And number four, no idea that when used properly, it's something that builds up. It's something that expresses love. It's something that promotes growth. It's something that's helpful. It's something that's good. They were clueless about their God-given authority. Confidence in having authority, knowing where it comes from. Caution in using it takes wisdom. Number three, the control. We've alluded to this, the control in using authority. Verse 10. For his letters, such as 1 Corinthians, they say, are weighty and powerful, and they come down heavily upon us. Do you ever read 1 Corinthians? Paul came out with all guns blazing, didn't he? But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible, literally in the Greek, of no account. When he talks to us, it's like he's not saying anything in person. His presence is weak. He looks like a wimp. He's a lion when he's absent, but he's a pussycat when he's in our presence. And he says, let such a person consider this, that we are in word by letters when we are absent. Such we will also be indeed when we are present. If you really want me to be a lion in person, I can. I can be as tough in person as I am in my letters. I have no desire to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is exactly what Paul says in verse 23. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. They were questioning why he didn't come when he said he would come. He says, the reason I didn't come and I delayed is if I came right now, I would have to come and I would have to verbally spank you. And I was praying and hoping that you would repent and get some of these things right so I would not have to come and spank you. That's not my desire. I don't want to have to use my authority. I want to use it as a last resort. Right? We want to pray. We want to love. We want to persuade. We want to be patient. And we use authority as a last resort. But we do use it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 10. He concludes his book. And believe it or not, someday we're going to conclude this book. We will get there. Verse 10. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. I don't want to have to be present and use cutting hard words. That's why I'm writing these things being absent, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. I'm writing these things to build you up. So in summary, I think the most important things to remember is if we are in a position of authority, good to remember God has placed us in that position, and he's going to evaluate how well we use it. And we don't want to be too quick in utilizing it, the authority that he's given, but we do want to use it to build up when it's necessary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have constructed society in such a way that it's orderly, that it functions well. And Father, even when people are in authority over us who don't do a good job of exercising it, they are there for our protection. Help us, Lord God, to utilize our authority well. Give us wisdom. Help us to use it for people's good, to build them up. And Father, if we do have to be kind of tough, help us to do it in such a way that people know that we're doing it because we love them. Thanks for this time, Lord. Bless each person here richly, we ask, through Christ our Lord. Amen.